starter, everyone's happy with that. It's Nicky just putting the sound recording on. Excellent. Okay. Welcome to the Housing Planning and Regeneration and Regulatory Services Scrutiny Committee. We practice that one again. do we have any apologies?
No.
Okay. The minutes of the previous meeting have been circulated and could I have a proposed and a seconder to say that you're ready? Polly proposed,
second.
I'm second, and everyone else in favour? Yes. Okay, we're into the count now. Okay, item number three, disclosures of pecuniary and personal interests. I have a personal interest in that through my employment. I do use various building control services. Have used Charnwood, Northwest Leicester, and various other bodies as well. But I'm here completely with open mind. That doesn't really affect. But I just wanted to mention that at this point. So, anyone has anything else? Brilliant. Okay. Item number four: decorations for the party list. I don't believe we have any. So we'll go on to. Item number five, questions under scrutiny committee procedures. No questions have been submitted. Actually, just don't know whether to pick it up now or should maybe pick this up earlier, but just to note that the meeting is being sound recorded, and the sound recording subsequently will be made via the council website. In addition, please be advised that under the openness of local government local government bodies regulations 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. Use of any images or sound is not under council's control. Just to mention, any queries about these arrangements, please speak to Democratic Service. So I did put that up on the agenda. Just to note, when people do speak, if they can also mention their name first for the sound recording as well. Thank you. Okay.
Apologies, Chair.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, item number six is the work programme. We have had a supplementary report from the head of strategic support asking for the supplementary report to request the action requested for consideration by the committee as part of the report. The action request, is that something Richard you'd like to mention, just summarise briefly?
Thank you, Chair. Richard Bennett, Head of Planning and Regeneration. This is an item that has been referred to this committee for consideration from the Corporate Services Scrutiny Committee at its meeting on 25th of June. And it concerns a discussion that was held at that time around the budget outturn report for the revenue account and whether or not the planning and regeneration service structure, which was approved by Cabinet in April 2018, is enabling the service to progress in the right direction. So the matter for consideration this evening is whether this committee would like to look at that in more detail on its work programme.
Okay, I think does anybody have any thoughts on that, or should we go to the other items on the work program? I don't think we
yes. Chair, through you, Chair, my understanding is that there has been an email detailing the information that sent to the scrutiny committee, the Corporate Services Scrutiny Committee. So it may be something that this committee also wishes to receive.
I don't think if that could be sent to the members of the committee for our consideration, that'd be great, then we'll consider that. at a later date on that. So if we bring back later. So if we go through the items on the work programme, I think the next, is that right, Nikki?
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you. We've got various items on which have already been put on previously. We've got two items that we have to be scheduled, unless anyone's got any comments on the ones that are already scheduled on there. We've got the HMRS, that's the Housing Capital Programme, which is a consideration for us to look at here. But I think the comments are on that is that we won't actually get a chance to look at that in detail before it goes to Cabinet, I think. So I think on that, I think the action was sort of agreed that will go to the Housing Management Board rather than ourselves. So everyone's in agreement with that. We won't look at that particular item.
Do you know when it will go to Housing Management Board?
That's a good. It certainly
goes to January.
January.
Yeah, just prior to the conclusion of the budget planning process.
Right. That's such a stage. Chair, can I say something as the Vice Chair? Isn't it gone then? If it's gone in January to the Cabinet.
HMAP. Yeah.
So our next full meeting before then is December. So we will not have any reports at all or anything to look at with regarding this item, will we?
March, isn't it?
Yeah, and then Cabinet in March.
Yeah, if I may, Chair, just for the benefit of the kind of process. So when the draft budget is set obviously the original in November, then it goes through the process to January and February. During that period, the capital programme for housing is also considered. The final version of that goes to Cabinet in March, and your meeting in December therefore will be too early to receive a developed form of that, because it will still be in the development phase. You can have high level numbers. You probably will know high level numbers from the Housing Revenue Account business plan. They won't be too much different to what we already know, to be fair, but you could certainly have those in December. And then your March meeting is just before Cabinet. I think it's in the same week as Cabinet. So it will be too late to help shape that report.
Okay. Well, if we're all happy with that, we will not schedule that particular item and leave it to the other committee.
Councillor Rattray, is it worth just getting the high level numbers at the next meeting first, and then at least if there's any concerns from at that level, there's still time for that to get passed on before it's reviewed at the following two meetings? It just feels like a point where we might pick things up early.
We could have that and have a look at those, but just obviously bear in mind that they're only high level items and not final sort of figures. We won't get sort of really comment properly before the next Cabinet meeting, but if it's resolved as a committee, that we'll have the high level numbers and put that on to the next committee meeting. Everyone is in agreement, and that's what we're sort of.
So, in terms of the minutes, you're happy to schedule the Housing Capital Programme high level figures at your December meeting?
Yes.
Is that
agreement?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, the next item to be scheduled is the revised local development scheme program for the preparation plan documents for Charnwood. So just thinking, when if we are scheduled, when would that be the best sort of time to put that on the schedule, work with the officers?
I think in terms of scheduling it to review it before Cabinet, you're facing the same issue as you are with the Housing Capital Programme, in the sense that you can only really consider it at your December meeting. And I think you probably would require some officer input to understand what you would be getting at that December meeting.
Sorry, Councillor Anson.
Councillor Anson speaking. I'm actually interested in the fact that what type of report providing, what type of report are going to be provided to us at the December meeting, as the actual scheduled meeting for it to go to Cabinet is in March. What is it, a summary, or is it going to be, won't be an in-depth one because they won't have had the actual summary, they won't have had the actual conclusions done, am I right?
Can I invite Richard Bennett to the table, the head of planning and regeneration?
Through Chair, Richard Bennett, Head of Planning and Regeneration. The local development scheme is a document we publish once a year, setting out the key milestones for the preparation of the local plan. Those milestones are considered by the Local Development Framework Project Board quite late in the financial year, so we won't necessarily know what the milestones need to be set at until after December. Usually it's something that's considered by the board in January, February time. So whilst we're very happy to come and talk to you about the local development scheme, what it, how it works, and you know, its purpose, and I suspect the committee is going to be more interested in the actual milestones, you know, when the draft plan is going to be published, when it's going to be submitted to the government and those sorts of things, which we won't, we may not know until sort of January, February time. So it's
So Chair, through yourself again, Nikki, would that not be advisable then to have the summary of the actual findings in our next meeting at the March, but we can't really do anything about it? That's what I'm getting a little bit bemused by. If the report isn't going to be ready till the January, our meeting is in December, so we can't
that's correct.
Yeah. So we really, our comments cannot be taken into deliberation until such time as we have the report or the summary of the report in front of us, which won't be until January.
Correct.
I don't know what anybody else thinks. I'm just
Councillor Brennan, I'm a bit concerned that we've got two quite large items here for which the December meeting is too early to discuss them in full, and the next meeting in February is, or is it in March?
March.
My apologies. Right, too late to have any real impact. And forgive me, as a new councillor, I'm not quite sure. Can we reschedule a meeting? Can we meet in January or February in order that the meeting can be meaningful?
I think through you, Chair, just to give a little bit of background, the way these committee meetings were set up originally was for you to do scrutiny on a directorate. Since that has happened, the Scrutiny Commission have met on several occasions and they have put these two items on your work programme to enable the committee to do a sort of early doors pre-decision scrutiny to look at matters, to look at topics that have been identified from the Cabinet agenda. So that's why your dates don't actually fit into that process, because this committee wasn't originally scheduled to fit into that scrutiny process.
So
in terms of guidance as to how you're going to manage this early doors pre-decision scrutiny, I think it may be an option to ask the Scrutiny Commission to provide some further guidance on how you're going to fit this into your programme. That's one option.
Okay, sorry, Councillor Rappaport.
My understanding was that we had these, there was less meetings in the new structure, but that we are allowed to meet informally, so those meetings that are in the diary are obviously formal and we have the officer's time, but that we are actually allowed to set our own informal meetings if there's things that we want to look into in more detail that don't necessarily have to be formalised in the way that this meeting is. If there's things that we want to look into and the timescale doesn't fit, we could still get together. Am I correct, Nikki, with that?
I think the expectation with the new scrutiny structure is that councillors would take more of a proactive approach into researching topics that they think might benefit from additional scrutiny, and they choose to do that outside a formal structure.
Okay, I think the proposal is that we do have an informal meeting in January time to go through this further. I think if we could look at the diaries and come back to that. And if that's what the committee wants to have an informal meeting January, then
is it going to be documented?
I think the officers have guides that we can have these in informal meet meetings. So if that's what Pete is absolutely what wanted, then everybody wants it, then
Councillor Brennan, I hear what you're saying about having an informal meeting. I'm concerned still if we have an informal meeting. As I heard you mention, Councillor Ransom, will it be documented? Also, the Democratic Service Officer did mention that perhaps we would benefit from a bit more input from officers and explanation from officers. My apologies, I think that was about the local development scheme. So, are we going to be able to scrutinise in detail and for that to be accountable if it's just an informal meeting?
I don't know the answer, because we've not had one yet. I'm assuming not perhaps some advice from the officers on that side, or any further thing to add.
I think if you were to have an informal meeting, you would want officers, it's really, you're asking almost like an officer briefing on a topic to look at whether it's worth scrutinising or not. So I think you could go for an officer briefing on a topic outside this meeting, and then if you think you want to scrutinise, you would be then adding it to your work programme as a matter of scrutiny.
Trying to think, because it's all new, isn't it? So we're all trying to So I think the difficulty from the officer's perspective may be if you have a briefing in January, February time, whatever they're going to propose in March to Cabinet formally through the Cabinet reports may not be fully formed, and things can happen and change. So what you might get maybe a kind of embryonic stage of their reports and their thinking, but things may well change between you getting them and then them eventually going to Cabinet. So you might see you've considered something and thought whether it's a good or a bad thing, and then when it gets to Cabinet it may well be something completely different. So I think there's an issue for all of us around time and how we manage that process to help you do what you need to do, but also so that we don't write to completely different reports that we've then got to come back and say, well, why did you do that and then change that, and which could be post-scrutiny but may not achieve what you want to achieve. So I think it's just a question of at what point is it going to be formed enough to enable you to get a real proper view of what might come forward without there being, you know, too many ifs, buts and maybes in there for when we go and try and do a briefing, have to then caveat everything we say to you with, well, this could be this or it might be that. So, I take the point around, it's unfortunate the timing, because if your schedule was different, then you would be able to do the kind of more developed scrutiny just prior to...
I think
actually then maybe suggest, and please, you know, don't shoot me, but I don't know whether around the table would agree with the chair and myself as the vice chair that we have an additional meeting after the actual paper was done, while you've done it, when you've actually had the paper, so we could actually look at it before it went to Cabinet. I don't know what the mean. That way, to me, we're not having little. We're not like spiders running around. We're actually looking at a nucleus, and then we may have to have an extra meeting after the December meeting in the March, before the week before the actual. If the paper is prepared, I'm just thrown into the thing. I don't know what anybody else thinks. Chair.
Anybody else got any thoughts? I mean, if we needed it, for me, I'll just pick it up.
I think that's what Pauline says is a good idea, because that then sort of emulates the pattern we had under the previous structure, that it went to scrutiny on the Wednesday before the following Thursday. And
I'm happy if we're happy with going
well,
for this.
Well, the officers.
That's not actually your role, unfortunately.
Okay.
You're sort of going down the lines of doing pre-decision scrutiny, which is the scrutiny commission role. So, you know, if you're considering that this matter is quite a significant matter, you could recommend that scrutiny commission do the pre-decision scrutiny
okay.
on it.
Okay, I think that's it. If we've not got a chance to look at this, then we'll put it back to the scrutiny committee. So everybody's in agreement with that. So I said,
we've made them aware of the problem.
Yeah.
I think yes. If you wish, I could minute that you know that you've had this discussion and that you've found that it's very difficult to fulfil their recommendation that you do the early door scrutiny, and that in this case you're asking them to do the pre-decision scrutiny on the local development scheme, and perhaps seek more guidance on how you can fulfil that role.
Okay, if I formally propose that, if everybody's happy with that, then for the minutes, then we have agreed on that one. Okay, next item on the Scroots work programme is the five-year housing supply. It does mention the council's house supply falls below 5.5 years quarterly report to be provided to the lead member to come and explain. But I'd like also, I think, just to also have a regular update at the on the quarterly figures to come to this meeting in any case, so that everybody is aware where we're at and we can see if there's any further action to be taken. So I think if if it does go below the 5.5, we do have it as a proper work item, but we are updated in any case on all the quarterly figures. If everybody is happy with that one, if I propose that one, if you want to have a second on that, and unless anyone's got anything else to add. Okay, so if we're all agreed on that one, we'll head over to the next item on the agenda. Okay, item seven, that's the quarter one annual performance monitoring report. There's put from the strategic director of performance monitoring information. Going through the report, there was one red item which I think they'd like to discuss. I think Richard, yourself were. Peter would like to come and talk to you about the red item on the report. This is the excellent. We'd like to leave a report on this.
This is something that is now back on track, and at the time it was the quarter one target was missed by just 0.01%. So in other words, it was 90.09% as opposed to 91%. And the deeper issue is that collection rates remain below what they were last year. And this is due entirely because of the increased risk of non-payment as we move towards more people being on universal credit. However, more positively, the reduction in collection rates, which is happening to all councils, it's in line with what's happening, and we are doing better than other councils in the area. So it's an issue that concerns everybody, and it's not specific to Charnwood. I think it's worth also noting, Mr. Chairman, that around 14% less housing benefit is being received by the council than it was a year ago. And the reason for this, as I said, is the number of UC claimants is increasing significantly as they're moved over to universal credit. And of course the reason is because housing benefit was paid directly to the council, whereas universal credit is paid to the claimants, and then they pay it
and therefore that puts a greater responsibility on us to collect it. It means our income officers have more people to chase, and the caseload increases, which is why we've increased the number of officers dealing with it.
Okay, thank you. If anybody has any questions or comments, that's okay, Councillor Ransom.
Sorry, I'm a pain tonight, aren't I? Universal credit, Councillor Mercer. How is it? I know it's been given and it's been actually demonstrated that the universal credit ownership is to the actual client, yes? Have we not put anything in place that on a previous scenario? Put in place that the client, when they come in and they're eligible, there's a scale, isn't it, that people are on universal credit? Am I not correct? Or am I? Look, Peter's looking at me vacant.
So I didn't understand. Apologies, Councillor Ransom. Can you phrase it, please?
It's just that when a person was the old DHS, or the old. Then they're automatically switched over to universal credit, where it was they went direct to us. I thought we were putting in place, and do correct me, I'm going back some years, it shows how long I've been here, that we were actually hoping to put, to nobble the people who we knew, to actually try and get them to actually do a direct debit to ourselves. Is that not in process?
All right, so there's a couple of things that we can do.
Yes.
So if somebody accrues a certain amount of arrears, it's 8 weeks of arrears,
yes,
we can apply to the Department of Work and Pensions to have those payments switched back to us directly, yes, to the landlord. But of course, we're still left with that arrear.
Yeah.
We can claw it back, so the DWP will pay it direct to us, and they'll pay us a little bit extra for the arrears as well.
Mm-hmm.
Something else that we've done is we've entered into contracts a long time ago, because we've known about this for, known this was coming for a very long time, with Clockwise, the local credit union.
Yeah,
and so we've signed quite a few people up to Clockwise credit union accounts. We're one of the most successful authorities in the sub-region in terms of setting those up. We actually presented when Clockwise had a little conference, because we were doing so well at it. And the third thing that we're looking to do, but we've not implemented it yet, is we're looking to implement a scheme whereby somebody can set up a direct debit with us any day of the month. So at the moment we only have fixed days whereby somebody can have a direct debit with us. If we can move that to any day direct debits, then potentially a claimant of universal credit who can get paid by the DWP on any day over the course of that month could set up a direct debit for maybe the day that they get their payment or the day after they get their payment, and that way the rent payment can be prioritised.
I was hoping you were going to say that, because that scheme was actually we were actually putting that in force before it ever came in. When we were notified that universal credit was in the pipeline, so you still stayed on with that. But I don't think we can actually force the universal credit client to actually do it, can we?
No, we can't. The only thing that we can do is switch the payment.
It's actually,
but
we have to wait. Are you telling me we have to wait 8 weeks in abeyance before that actual remit goes into place?
All the person has to meet the DWP criteria if they're particularly vulnerable as well. So that's another opportunity.
You're taking the words. I was going to say what's happening to a vulnerable end.
We also, when somebody signs up for a tenancy with the council, as the tenancy support team or one of the income officers, they go along to the sign up so that they can help somebody to apply for universal credit as well. And we will, of course, encourage people to pay the rents on receipt of their first universal credit payment as well.
Thank you for that.
Okay, is there any other comments from members of the committee? We're satisfied with what we've heard today, so just really hope that we'll get at least the 0.01% and some more to get it over the line, if they will obviously be coming back to ourselves.
I may, I was just going to ask that you said that, is this something that's only happen because clients are going over onto universal credit? Is it expected to settle down? You might have said it's settled down, or is it something that's going to become a problem in the future?
We've known about universal credit for a long time, and we've predicted that rent arrears will increase as a result of universal credit. And so that's factored in. In fact, we built it into the HRA business plan 2014, because we knew that it would go up. So I think that we've got an increasing number of claimants. So about a year or so ago, we had about 70 claimants, and now we've got over 700 claimants. That number is going to increase as well. So from January next year, managed migration starts, and that's the process of moving everybody onto universal credit. So if you look, all those people that we've got currently claiming housing benefit, and new people claiming benefits as well, will move over to universal credit. So I anticipate that the level of rent arrears will continue to increase as well, due to the change, and that's expected, and that's the experience of other landlords too. And then I imagine that at some point when the change starts to become more businesses, you know, more the norm, then things will level out and start to come back down again over the lockdown.
And can I pass on what we're hoping to do? We've got 12 officers at the moment, and there'll be 13 relatively soon. But to stop them being overwhelmed by the problem, we're introducing software which will identify the cases that they really need to address. And the experience of, and I've got a brochure here, smart brochure by Mobisoft. The experience of other councils that have introduced it is that not only does it pay for itself very quickly, but that it makes their job a lot more efficient, and therefore there will be savings for us. So next time we are dragged in front of your committee, Mr. Chairman, you can actually ask us how effective Mobisoft has been.
Mr. Chairman, I was always going to comment.
If we invite you to our committee, brilliant. Thank you, and hopefully there's no further on that. Attached to the indicators is the Charwood Borough report and the report, which just been asked if we that's all members have received that. Just to note that you have received that. At yes. So that's okay. Thank you, Councillor Mercer. Thank you, Peter. Brilliant. We'll move on to item 8, which is delivery of the climate change strategy. I believe we have the lead member and the new lead member, Councillor Rob Rollings, Richard Bennett, and it is Maria. So of course it's always Maria, Maria. Okay, back to
thank you, Chair. So I'm Councillor Rollings, the lead member for Transformation. I'm pleased to appear before the committee in my new, which encompasses the Council's environment strategy, including climate change and also carbon reduction. Please forgive me if I refer any technical questions to Richard Bennett or Marie French, but obviously being just 6 days into the role is probably going to be a bit light on some detail which you might want. So, but please bear with me on that. So, most of you know the climate strategy was approved by Cabinet in May 2018, and that set out the Council's activities in response to the challenges of climate change and how it will encourage others in the borough to take similar steps. The Climate Change Action Plan sets local targets and actions in the context of reporting regularly on progress. The Climate Change Strategy contributes to the Council's 2016 to 2020 corporate planning to take action to protect the environment for future generations. A Climate Change Notice of Motion was approved by full Council on the 24th of June, and that set an aspiration for the Council to achieve carbon neutrality from its own operations by 2030. The Council is also committed to work with residents, businesses and other public bodies across the borough to achieve this ambitious goal through all relevant technologies, strategies and plans. So, as a result of that motion, officers are currently reviewing the climate change strategy because, of course, it needs updating. Tonight, though, we're here because there are two red performance indicators in relation to schools and engagement with schools in the borough. And whilst it's unfortunate no schools have agreed to engage, it leads me to question whether it's an appropriate element of the strategy, given the County Council and the Government provide guidance to schools as part of the national curriculum. So I wonder whether that's actually an achievable part of this strategy and something that should be in there or removed. But I'll hand over to the officers for any more comments. Thank you.
Okay, would officers like any comments at this stage?
Chair, I don't think so. We're very happy to take any questions that there might be from the committee, because the report is what it is.
We appreciate Councillor Rose is failing you. You might want to add some detail. But if you have some questions out for the committee, Councillor Ransom, you want to kick off?
Hello, Councillor Rawlings. How are
Thank
we today?
You.
Thank you for coming. The red indicators, you indicated that was Leicestershire County Council are responsible. Have we not looked into the fact now that LCCA are not responsible for schools, academies, or collegiates, or are all responsible for their own makings? Mm. Maybe that would be interesting for us as a council to look at, because the actual remit is for the academies to. They've taken away the responsibility to a degree from the LCC.
Yes.
Schooling. It's just. Thought that when I saw this, I thought, well maybe, and when the comment was made that the county council, I would hate to think that they would be taken off the actual planet type of thing, and not be looked at.
Yes,
you can see my concern.
Sorry. Yes, Maria French, Sustainable Development Officer. The action itself relates to a program that we designed ourselves called the Enviro Detectives, which is a programme that was designed by regulatory services, and so therefore we were responsible for delivering it, working with local schools, and we've run that for many years quite successfully. But we've noticed a change in the national curriculum and how it's worked, and how trying to fit the programme in has been very difficult. And also schools are already, the environment and sustainability is quite high up on the agenda in some schools, and so they're already looking at a number of these issues. Mm. So that's my first point. And so having reviewed it, we have made the decision that we're not looking to include it in future action targets. But I agree, we can look to what Leicestershire County Council are responsible for and what programmes they are delivering. I understand they have the SCORE programme for schools, in which they're able to get funding for energy audits. Yeah. So that's something that we might be able to promote to the schools within Charnwood to take part in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but any other questions from councillors on the report? Sorry, councillor.
Not so much a question, but I just think that schools are such a key part of what we're trying to achieve. So obviously the next generation, I know you say that obviously you think a lot of it's happening already, which is great, but maybe we just need to get a bit of feedback from the schools directly as to why they've not signed up to this programme. So it sounds like we kind of think that we know why that is, but whether we've got any direct feedback from the schools, I think that would be useful to know why they've not signed up. And at least then, if it is what we think it is, then that's great. But they might give us some extra feedback or things to do with the programme that maybe needed changing, or things that we could do differently that they're not covering in the national curriculum already. Just think direct feedback from the schools on this would be useful.
Well, that's something we could do.
Yeah.
So we've got the contacts with the schools, so we could ask them for their feedback.
Okay, brilliant. Any further comments around the table on this? Okay, well the actions are to consider a report, which we have considered content of the report. The other action which we have done, the other action is whether we want to schedule a climate change stress into our work programme for future scrutiny. I think, do we scrutinise it annually? Do we need to look at it any other time? Or have we next time, let's look at it next time in next year, I think. Okay, everyone's happy with that. And, okay. Item number 9. Item number nine is, I think, just need to make a proposal that we go into a exempt session on this. The sound recording will be turned off because there is information within the report that. So I think if the committee is happy, so. Hello. we're happy that we can go into exempt session. I propose that if council has set seconds, that then we'll all just leave. But I'm all happy on that. So if everybody has now left the room that needs to leave the room, we'll just turn the sound recording.